Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. We're about 12 minutes away from catching up with starting quarterback Kirk Cousins. The Redskins are 3-2. He played well in a win yesterday. Let's go around the NFC East. Cowboys on a bye week. They're still waiting to find out if they can get Ezekiel Elliott back after another suspension was handed down. So he was suspended, then he was unsuspended, now he's suspended again. They're going to try to fight it one final time with the Players Association. But it looks like no Zeke Elliott. Sub 500 through five games. Trouble in Dallas. Let's start in Philadelphia, Danny. The Eagles actually looked very good on Thursday night.
Yeah, they did.
Started the week with the Carolina Panthers. They get a 28-23 win. And the development of Carson Wentz is their big story. He is through now over a quarter of the season with 13 touchdowns and three picks. They added weapons for him. His go-to guy is Zach Ertz, who's got 10 more receptions than anyone else on the team. Alshon Jeffrey makes big catches on third down. Nelson Aguilar has been their red zone threat, has four touchdowns. Torrey Smith is their deep guy, averaging 15 yards per catch. Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood at times underneath, and Trey Burton out of the backfield occasionally as a tight end fullback. But for the most part, it's Carson Wentz extending plays, and then LeGarrette Blount pounding the ball between the tackles. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry.
They have been really good on defense as well. 122 points allowed towards the top of the NFC, despite having played six games. Other teams that are, you know, a little bit further down the list have basically only played five. They're really, really good. They're solid all around. They're beatable. They're not invincible. And the NFC is wide open, especially given what happened to Aaron Rodgers yesterday. We'll go into that later on in the program as well. But if you can figure this league out, if you are so smart that you know that the Denver Broncos, who had one kind of hiccup, weird loss for Trevor Siemian, was a disaster on the road at Buffalo, if you knew that in prime time, without Odell Beckham, without Brandon Marshall, and without the majority of what makes this New York Giants team the New York Giants, they were going to shove it on the Denver Broncos on national television. Do something else with your life. Go predict the future. Go fix a bunch of things that need fixing in our society. That was a dominant start-to-finish performance. Denver couldn't manage anything against the New York Giants. That was so surprising to me. The Giants fought. Maybe it was a dead cat bounce. I don't know. But I couldn't help but be impressed with that team. And let's always remember, even if you're on five, you're 1-4, 1-6, whatever the heck it is, the any given Sunday moniker, it's true. It is a real deal thing. All of a sudden, the AFC West, everybody lost. Everyone looked terrible this past week, the best division in football. What a topsy-turvy weekend. But the New York Giants got themselves on the board.
Yeah, 23-10 final. Came in 0-5 playing 3-1 Denver. Here's what happened. The Giants played a game like most of us thought they would play all of their games this season. They were great defensively. They could run the ball, and they took a lot off Eli Manning's plate.
Darkwell was good, yeah.
Orleans Darkwell ran for 117 yards, had a 47-yard run at one point. Evan Ingram, their rookie tight end they drafted, who most of us thought would be an asset in that offense, had a touchdown and 82 yards through the air. As you said, they were without a couple of top wide receivers, so they were throwing the ball to Wayne Gallman out of the backfield, Darkwell, Ingram, tight ends and running backs. Basically, Eli Manning only completed 11 passes and threw for a $128. The big difference for them? Number one, their defense was sensational.
That's the defense I thought that we were going to get this year.
Yep. They had a defensive touchdown. Denver couldn't get out of its own way for pretty much three quarters of football. Didn't score its touchdown until garbage time in the fourth quarter when they were way down. But the other thing was, I don't know if you saw this, Ben McAdoo gave play calling duties up. And we've pummeled him on this show over the last few years for how often he goes away from the run, how often he completely refuses to stay balanced, and he just asks Eli Manning to take 5- and 7-step drops behind a terrible offensive line. He gets hit and he throws picks. So what happens? You got a new play caller. They commit to the run. They ran it 31 times. They threw it 12 times, and they barely had any plays because their defense scored one of their only touchdowns.
It was an atypical kind of NFL performance, but if you're going to win, maybe that's the way you do it, especially if you don't have a dependable receiver like Odell Beckham in the lineup. And the Dallas Cowboys were idle this week, GP, just to kind of stay with the NFC East theme, but the big news happened off the court, so to speak, in court. I now am officially dizzy. My eyes are crossed from the lifting of the injunction, but there's still a potential for a re-injunction, conjunction. What is your function? I don't know what's going to happen with this Ezekiel Elliott thing. My understanding, just reading some people who like to do the 30,000-foot view and translate legalese to the rest of us lay people, is basically that the Players Association and Ezekiel Elliott's camp still have something they can refile, they can redo to kind of block the suspension from starting, and he will still play all of the games this year. They think if they had to bet on something, that's what's going to end up happening. But it's still on the table that he could miss a chunk of time. It is one of those things where you're reminded, lawyers are annoying, but we need them, because I don't understand anything that's happening at this point. An injunction was lifted, which meant that he could be suspended. I thought when you have an injunction, it means you block someone from doing something. It is such a crazy saga at this point, years after whatever incident did or didn't happen occurred. But it looks like, according to what I'm seeing here, GP, I don't know if you're seeing something different, but Elliott's going to be able to play even though the suspension may have been reinstated by that court.
As of this moment, supposedly, yes, but that is not the final verdict or the end game here, I don't think. I talked to, among others, people with the NFLPA a couple days ago, and they absolutely still had fear that Ezekiel Elliott would be serving this suspension this year if they weren't able to get one more win in court. Now, whether or not it starts right away is what is still to be determined, but they'll try to go back to court and win, which they normally do against the NFL, and reinstate him. I don't see how this is good for the league, though. That he's suspended, he's unsuspended, he's suspended, he's unsuspended. It's not good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's a good
point.
There's
a lot of moving parts here. When you and I are trying to sort it out, and this is what we do all the time, that's an issue for the National Football League. Kirk Cousins had few issues yesterday as he had 3 touchdowns and 300 yards in a win. That means it's a Hall & Oates Double Guns Monday when the starting quarterback of the Redskins joins us exclusively on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour at 11 next. Spread the word. Cousins on the Fan.
Hey guys, Grant and Danny for Window Nation. We made the choice. You need to make the choice too. We made that call and our lives are better. They are awesome. These guys know exactly what they're doing. Dave came to my house, came to Grant's place as well, answered every question. When they were in, they were out. Not a screw left on the floor. It was a perfect, perfect situation with Window Nation. And right now, GP, they have an unbelievable deal. 0% financing on all windows for 5 full years.
That's amazing. No financing for 5 full years. They have made my bills lower. Energy efficient home now. I don't have to worry about not only my bills, but the fact that it was getting a little chilly in the house from time to time during the winter. Not anymore. There's no air seeping through those windows. Window Nation came to my home. It was one of the best decisions I've made since moving just a few years ago to my townhouse. And it's the best thing I've done to cut any of the bills that I have at my home.
So, 0% financing until 2022. That's 5 years. And for every 3 windows you buy, you get 2 additional windows for free. There's no limit. You call this month and you get your new windows installed just in time for the holidays before that snow arrives. Get this done. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Or visit windownation.com. Tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.